الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the last of the points about resilience, which is to make your way through the mess, to find a way through the chaos that you face. The first part was face the brutal facts, not disguise them, not try to pretend things are not as bad as they are. Face the brutal facts. Second one is to have absolute faith in eventual success, even when data on the ground might not support that faith, but we still have the faith that we will succeed. And the third and most important part is to find a way of dealing with the current chaos. So find a way through the mess that you find yourself in. If you see the situation of the Muslims today, this is where we are. We are in a mess and we need to find a way out of this. How do you get out of this? By definition, there will not be a plan. There will not be a map. There will not be a known way, because it is a mess. It is chaos. So you need two very critical abilities. One is the ability to see patterns. And the second one is the ability to strategize, to see patterns in what is happening and to strategize a way of getting out of it. How do you get out of this situation that you are in? From the seerah, if you look at it, the time in Makkah was a time like this, a time of crisis. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam found different ways of dealing with it. For example, he sent a group of people to Habasha. The idea being that if something happens, and if Islam, if the people of Makkah manage to kill all the Muslims, still Islam would be, some Muslims would be alive, and then they could take the message forward. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a set of people to Habasha. Some of the big leaders of the Muslims of Makkah went to Habasha. So there were people, it's not that, people who are insignificant, many significant people went to Habasha. Similarly, the Hijra itself is another example of this, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself left Makkah and went to Medina. So finding a way out. Now, very important some things. One is to strategize, you need the ability to critically analyze the situation. And also knowledge of history, where you can reflect on the past and see if there are any lessons to be learned from there. And obviously, for critical analysis, it's important to suspend your emotions and suspend your normal ways of thinking, because what happens with a lot of us when we talk about critical analysis is that we gloss over facts, we gloss over periods of our history which are not as glorious as we would like them to be. But that's where the lessons are. Most lessons of life come from failures, not from successes. So if we gloss over those parts and we say, no, we can't discuss this, then how will you learn the lesson? So the issue of discussing is that when we look at something critically, we are not criticizing. We are looking at it critically to derive a lesson. We need to be clear. Otherwise, people get very worked up and how can you criticize so and so. We are not criticizing anybody. We are looking at the situation critically to see what lesson we can learn. So there's a difference between critical analysis and criticizing. We are not criticizing, we are critically analyzing a situation. So to be ability to find a way through the mess, which is the critical ability for resilience to happen. And then, of course, at the end of that, you find that you are able to survive and you are able to develop. Today we are in a situation where these three things are very, very critical. We need to face the facts about Muslims and about our situation globally and locally very clearly, without trying to disguise it in any way. That's very important for us. The second thing is that we must not lose hope in the fact that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make will find a way out for us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this deen supreme over everything else in this world. And third thing is, we must be able to have this ability to critically analyze. Now, one way of doing that is through creating, for want of a better word, think tanks, where people, the issue with think tanks is our think tanks look more like fish tanks. Because we get anybody and put them into a think tank, and you call it a think tank. You can't just call something a think tank. Think tanks must consist of people who have the necessary qualifications to be there. You need people with the education, you need people with a track record of that kind of work. So you need statisticians, you need political analysts, you need financial analysts, you need economists, you need people with the actual necessary education, you need historians. You can't just get a bunch of people, no matter how well-meaning they are, and put them into a group and say this is a think tank. Calling something a name doesn't change its nature. So that's a very important thing. And that think tank then must do what we call scenario planning, which is look at potential and possible scenarios and then say, in these circumstances, this would be an advisable action. If the circumstances change, then in the new circumstances, this would be an advisable action. Today, we seem to be completely devoid of that. We have practically none at all of this kind of think tank. So I think that's a very important thing to start. Also, incidentally, as far as the Muslims are concerned, for these think tanks to work, the members need not necessarily be Muslim. You need people with the qualification. He doesn't have to be a Muslim. It can be somebody who has the qualification, not a Muslim, but will still give you he'll give you the results of his analysis because of his education. So the education, the kind of people on those think tanks are absolutely critical to success. And that's my experience also in, I suggested this in South Africa and so on. And I think one of the reasons why these things have not really worked is because we are very haphazard with who you put on those think tanks. So you might have people who are well-meaning, but that's not enough. You need people with the qualifications. So that's very important for us to at least create that, create think tanks where people can do a proper critical analysis and come out with a valid report which is statistically verifiable. And then we say, okay, going forward, what is it we need to do? Number two is focus on those things which you can do yourself. So maybe small efforts, but something that you can do. Even if you, it's like what something Mother Teresa said. If she said, if you can't feed all the hungry people, feed one person. So it's like that. You localize the problem. Whatever you can do, do that. So some action on the ground must happen. I mean, we can sit and talk till the cows come home. Nothing will change. Some action on the ground should happen. So whatever each one of us can do personally, we should do. Even if it is to one person, it doesn't matter. It's small and big, doesn't matter. Whatever we can do, we should consciously make an effort, and we should do that. And then inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. And that's the third part, which is never lose track of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of the equation. So as I say, factor Allah into the equation because he is in it anyway. So therefore, tahajjud, dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our situation, along with the effort to change the situation. Dua alone without effort doesn't work. Effort alone without dua doesn't work, but two have to be together. So making dua while making a good intelligent effort to change our situation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to be pleased with us and to enable us to get out successfully from the difficulties that we find ourselves in. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ